a Christian man, pretty good Christian man, was riding with me in the right side. We were going down to Dallas one day, and I'm driving along there, and I'm really not paying attention. I was a whole lot further down than I thought I was, but I'm talking. Me and him talking about Jesus. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and there was my exit, and I'm almost past it. I mean, I'm already past the, you know, where the double lines that say, don't cross these solid lines. I'm already past that. And so when I see that, I think, oh, my goodness. I, you know, I kind of looked right quick, but as I looked, I whipped at the same time. Well, when I whipped and looked, man, it was a guy coming off right there, and I had to quickly grab it back, you know, and man, I mean, that guy went by me. I guarantee I could have reached out and touched his car. Easy. And the man sitting on my right side, I would never repeat the words that came out of his mouth. And as soon as we recovered, and that guy went on, I just looked at him and said, I guess you never really know what's in that heart until you're under pressure, do you? I said, I think you need to repent. That's what he needed to do, right? If it had been me, you know, a few years ago, it could have been me. In fact, I remember when I first started to try to not say any foul words, I made a New Year's resolution. I still remember it. I said, Lord, this year I will use no words of profanity whatsoever. Well, I messed up two or three times that year and said things I shouldn't have. So at the end of the year, I said, okay, Lord, I realize I can't do this. I'm going to have your help. So I'm going to ask you, of course, me being a mechanic working in a shop, I use many a big old heavy wire brush to clean carbon and stuff off of heads and so forth when I was washing them in a vat. I said, Lord, would you take that wire brush, the Holy Spirit, and clean my heart with that wire brush? If it'll get them heads clean, maybe it'll clean my heart. So you see what I mean, right? I mean, without pain, you know, there's no gain, right? And so I asked the Lord to clean my heart, and he did. And then from then on, I don't have no problem with foul words. They don't make any difference what happens. I don't use foul words. So praise God. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, it makes no difference to God whether we're uncircumcised or uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Verse 7 and 8. You were getting along so well. Who has interfered with you to hold you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. The Lord called us to freedom. So it's certainly not him. Verse 9 and 10, but it takes only one wrong person among you to infect all the others. Why is that true? Why is it so easy for one person to infect a group, a congregation of people that appears to be going the right direction? Why is it that one man can come in and lead us astray? Because we're not in the book. Now, if you really know the word, now then, I remember being in a Baptist church. And I remember the first time that I was called in by a woman. I walked into the back of the church there, and this woman said, Thurman, what are you doing here? And I said, well, ma'am, I'm just coming to church. I said, so what am I supposed to be doing? She said, my husband is in the pastor's office, and he called and said he was sick today, and he came to church because he wants the pastor and some deacons to agree with him in prayer according to James 5, 14, 15, and 16. And said, if there's anybody in this church I want in there praying, it's you. I said, well, I didn't know it. Nobody asked me. And so I walked in, opened the pastor's door, and walked in, and there they were. There was the pastor, associate pastor, and about three deacons. And I said, y'all fixing to anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith for him. They said, yes. I said, let me ask one question before we pray. Do you believe he's going to be healed when we pray for him? And the associate pastor there, he said, Thurman, if it's God's will, he'll be healed. If it's not, he won't. I said, he won't, I guarantee. Now, if God says, the prayer of unbelief will heal him? Oh, he said, the prayer of what? Faith, the prayer of faith. Now, we as faith people, we're not supposed to be walking in unbelief, are we? We're supposed to be walking in faith. You either believe him and get it or you don't. He is a faith God, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. I am trusting the Lord to bring you back to believing as I do about these things. God will judge that person, whoever it is, who has been troubling and confusing you. Verse 11 and 12. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why would the Jews persecute me? The fact that I am still being persecuted proves that I am still preaching salvation through the cross of Christ alone. That's the only way you can get saved. It's got to be through Christ alone. I only wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. Wow. Paul, he's getting a little aggravated here, isn't he? Just cut them up. 13 and 14. For you have been called to live in freedom. There again, he's telling us, you and I have been called as faith people to live in freedom. In freedom. Not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. Now, that's the secret. If somebody says, well, I got freedom, then I can smoke this cigarette if I want to. Or I can go have this can of beer if I want to. Well, yeah, you can. You know, you can. You have freedom to smoke if you want to. And I've had people say, well, if you believe you have freedom to smoke, why don't you smoke? I said, because I ain't in no hurry to get home. And I said, it clearly says on the package, that freedom will cause me to die with cancer early, so I ain't no hurry to get home. Plus, I understand it costs about $4 or $5 a pack for them things, so I'm not going to pay to kill myself with cancer. So I have the freedom to smoke if I want to, but I ain't going to smoke. You know, I don't think that would be treating my body with love, would you? No. And, of course, another thing, too, if I'm a heavy smoker, I will offend everybody I'm around that's not a smoker. I mean, I think about men that walk by me that are heavy smokers. When they walk by me, it's so offensive. I still have to walk in love with this guy. It says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, verse 15 and 16. But if instead of showing love among yourselves, you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. Now then, if we get somebody in the church that is always having a bad day and they're retaliating with snapping and biting and quarreling and all this stuff, we need to take them off to the side and sit down and talk with them, don't we? In other words, if you can't get through to them any other way, then you might have to take them down and sit on them or something, you know. Maybe you might have to get a switch out or something. Would that be tough love? That would really be tough love, wouldn't it? But do you ever have to do that to your children? Oh, sure. You have to tell them, talk to them, be kind and gentle to them. But if they don't pay attention, you have to take a switch to your children. And, of course, nobody likes to do that. But if you have to, you have to. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. I got news for you, and I know you all already know this, that when you get saved, your sinful nature is still there. You have to subdue this beast every day because it wants to rule you. Let's first see what 17 and 18 says. The old sinful nature loves to do evil. Does it ever? Which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. Now, these two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. But did you know every time you sin, you have to make an intelligent choice. You have to choose to sin. You have to choose to do right. Praise God, we have that privilege within us to make that choice. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, or you're led by the Spirit, you're no longer subject to the law. Now then, how in the world can you be directed or led by the Spirit? There's only one way, and that is to be in God's Word every day. Now, if you didn't eat but one meal a week in the flesh, how long do you think you would be strong? Not very long. I mean, you might go a few weeks, but I guarantee in a month, if you had one meal every Sunday, only on Sunday, you eat one meal. You could eat all you want on that one day, but no other time could you eat except once every 7 days. It wouldn't be long. If you want to lose weight, hey, that'll make you lose weight. That'll really make you lose weight. In fact, it won't be long. You'll be so skinny you won't be able to walk around. But if we only get a few minutes of God's Word at church on Sunday, and that's all we get, if we don't open it up the rest of the week, we only get an hour or two at church on Sunday, how long do you think it's going to take for your flesh to overcome your spirit? Not very long. You may make it a month or two or three, but boy, if you're feeding that flesh every day, three times a day, and you're feeding the spirit only once a week on Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning or whatever, you're going to be in trouble. Let's go to verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results. Now, this is how you can tell if a man or a woman is living according to the Spirit or according to the flesh. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature or the flesh, your life will produce these evil results. What's the very first one? Sexual immorality. And that seems to be the weakest one of the whole bunch. Sexual immorality. Then impure thoughts. You'll be thinking the wrong things. Then eagerness for lustful pleasures. You know, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group. Do you see anything in there that you see people doing that call themselves Christians? Isn't that a shame? But the Bible tells us how you can tell who these people are. Verse 21 and 22. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. My land, this pretty well covers all of it, doesn't it? So we're out drugging and drinking and having sex and doing all the things that the world tells you to do. And you can turn on any television program anytime that's not a Christian program, and you can see these crazy things going on TV. Can you not? So you want to know why that we do all those things? But let's see what the consequences were we talked about a while ago. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, wait a minute. That's kind of scary to me. So I'm a young man or an old man. It don't make no difference. But all I'm doing all the time is fussing and fighting and quarreling. Maybe on Saturday night I go out and get tanked up on some booze. You ever seen anybody calling themselves Christians out in the bar on Friday night and Saturday night and getting all tanked up? Then can't get out of bed and go to church on Sunday because they're sick in their stomach? But I'm a Christian. I'm okay, Thurman. No, I'm okay. You know, I mean, I accepted Jesus when I was 15 years old, so I'm okay. But, I mean, just quarreling and fussing. I mean, you're not out having sex with somebody else's wife or none of those kind of, you ain't out killing nobody, ain't murdering nobody, nothing. You just can't, nobody get along with you. You're just fussing. And some of them call themselves Christians, don't they? Look what our King said in His Word. Now, who was He talking to in Galatia? Was this a church? Yeah, that's what this letter was written to, the Christians. This wasn't written to the lost people. This is written to the church. He said, if you're in the church and you're led by the flesh, this is what you're going to produce. All these bad things. And if you produce all these bad things, let's say you get killed going home in a car wreck today. Say you was bitter, you couldn't get along with nobody this morning before you left home. You had a knockdown drag out with your spouse. You know, you just can't walk in love. And you get killed in a car wreck. Quarreling and bitterness and all this kind of stuff. When you close your eyes in death, where, according to this scripture, where might you open them up? Ooh, that would be scary, wouldn't it? Ain't nobody on earth can pray you out of that place now if you're already there, is there? Right. You know, I just like to say that when these things became a reality to me, it scared my socks off. It made me start researching my life to see what I needed to do to straighten my act up.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Nail Our Sins to His Cross, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.